Okay, so I know it's just a fictional world, but if you've ever seen the original Star Wars classic, A New Hope, you've been introduced to the harsh desert planet called Tatooine, orbiting binary suns in the outer rim of a galaxy far, far away. In the film, Tatooine is depicted as a lawless world ruled by gangsters with a handful of spaceport cities that harbor smugglers, criminals, and other outcasts. In the words of the wise Ben Kenobi, "You'll never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy." I can't tell you how many times I watched the Star Wars movies as a kid. I've probably forgotten most of the useless trivia I used to know about the franchise, but I'll tell you, one of the things that came to mind recently, and I know this exposes me as a total nerd, but it occurred to me how the Lars family, made up of Uncle Owen, Aunt Beru, and their nephew Luke Skywalker, were, more or less, multi-generation homesteaders on their little moisture farm out in the middle of the desert. It was the Lars Farm, or the Lars Homestead. The nearest town was said to be Anchorhead, located who knows how many miles away and how long it took to get there by land speeder. But it's there we're told Luke occasionally would visit to pick up power converters at Tashi Station and to hang out with his friends. It reminds you of the typical rural farm community scene. Except in this case, the farm was located in a desert. And instead of growing vegetables and raising livestock, the family harvested water from the moisture collected in a pair of large GX-8 evaporator units. Thank you, Wikipedia, for getting me the name of those things. But think about that, though. What was the commodity? The commodity was water. It was a moisture farm. That makes practical sense, seeing how on a desert planet, demand for water would be high. Granted, I assume the family probably found other things to produce and sell as well. For instance, in the fandom literature, it talks about how mushrooms were said to grow on the side of those old evaporators. So who knows? Maybe the family sold their abundance of mushrooms at the traveling Jawa swap and share market every weekend. The point is, the main bread and butter for the Lars family was plain old water. It was water. That may not sound very exciting from a business venture standpoint, but it made total sense for them. I don't know if Mr. and Mrs. Lars ever complained about the hand they'd been dealt having to harvest water in an ocean of sand, but they seemed to make the best of it. Obviously, we know Luke dreamed of the day he could one day escape the old farm life on Tatooine, and I suppose as movie viewers, we're glad he eventually did for the sake of the larger story plot. But as far as Owen and Beru were concerned, they were quite content. It reminds me of a point I heard Joel Salatin make in one of his lectures on farming. For those unfamiliar, Joel Salatin is a popular author and lecturer on sustainable agriculture, but I once heard him observe how so many people, and in the context he's talking about farmers and homesteaders, how so many of them can adopt a kind of victimhood mentality that assumes they have it so rough and the other guy has it so well because of the bad luck they were dealt and the good luck the other guy was dealt. After all, the other guy lives on flat ground, or the other guy lives in an area that has good weather, or they live in a part of the country that appreciates locally grown and made things, or they have a supportive spouse, or they own better equipment, etc., etc. Salatin says, quote, "The fact of the matter is, every property has its own asset and liability, and you either make the best of it or you don't." Here, the Lars homestead was located in the middle of a desert, right? The planet was ruled by the Hutts. Bands of Tusken Raiders made it dangerous to venture too far from home. The best farm supplier on hand was a traveling sandcrawler scrapyard known for selling old droids that may or may not work properly when you get them home. But hey, they had water. They had the means to extract moisture out of the air. And in a desert economy, water is the most important thing you want. As I think about my own set of circumstances, I know I could find plenty to complain about. And as I compare my circumstances with the guy on the other side of the fence, I could find plenty to be envious about. But you know what? You know what? My guess is there are probably aspects to my situation the other guy is envious about, and aspects to his situation that I might not even be aware of that he's always complaining about. Again, every property has its own asset and liability. Every farm, every homestead, every home has its own inherent advantages and disadvantages. So you've got to make the best use of what you've got. To my fellow homesteaders out there who may be tempted to play the victim card regarding their circumstances, You may think your soil is too dry or too wet, too sandy or has too much clay. You may think the terrain is too rocky or too hilly or too flat. You may feel you've got too many trees or too few. You may think you live too close to the city or too far away. Just go down the list. Whatever it is, you may think you've got plenty to blame. And certainly it can be wise to give attention to some of those things. But if I could just encourage you for a moment, perhaps a better and potentially more fruitful list for you to put together isn't a list of complaints or a list of disadvantages, why it's not working out for you, but consider putting together a list of advantages. What assets do you have? What strengths do you have? If you can discover what your moisture in the desert is, what the marketable commodity in your local economy is, I'll tell you, you're asking the right questions. And if you can find what the right answers are to those questions, I argue you're already half of the way down the road to success. I once heard it said, it's not what you've got, it's what you use that makes the difference. With that said, you can't use what you don't know you don't have. So find out what you have. Find out what opportunities, what resources, what natural-born talents God has given to you are, and use them. And perhaps you'll be surprised how far down the road you can get using them. Well, I'll stop there. I hope I've said something here that is an encouragement. I invite you to like and subscribe to our channel if you haven't already. Stay tuned for more episodes to come. Until next time, thank you for listening, and God bless.